Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And with me today, I have Master Gardener Larry King to talk about creating a rock garden. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be back, Ross. It's good to see you.
Would you start by giving us a description of what a rock garden is and what it's designed to do?
Well, it's like the loosest description on the planet, I swear. And a little bit later, I'll talk to you about the different variety of rock gardens, and mm-hmm. so you'll probably see why it's so loose. Mm-hmm. The best definition I can come up with is a garden that features rocks and stones just as much, or in some cases even more, than the plants. If you're noticing a garden that has one of its primary features are interesting rocks or interesting stones, probably a rock garden, or could be classified as a rock garden. Contrast that with just gardens that have rocks in them. I mean, if you just have a pathway that is rock.
Or one big rock in the center.
Yeah, probably not. You know, you're really featuring the plants and the path as a way to get to them. Or a rock might be just an interesting visual feature in a garden bed, but that wouldn't be a rock garden.
It seems like it changes the function of the garden itself rather than just being there.
Mm-hmm. It can. It certainly can. When we start talking about Zen gardens or some of the other mm-hmm. gardens that features rocks, very definitely. It's like all about the rock and the energies and the shapes and things like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
Then let's get into the different types of rock gardens, since it seems like that's where we're headed. What are the different varieties and ways that a garden can be a rock garden?
Well, since I already mentioned it, let's mention a Zen garden. Mm-hmm. So some Zen gardens are exclusively rocks. You might have three or four rocks featured in the middle in a pattern that ideally is directing a chi or energy in a certain way so that the rocks have life to them. And then normally you'll have smooth or gravelly stones, sometimes swept or raked into interesting patterns that amplifies that feeling of movement. The Portland Japanese Garden, for instance, has a lovely one. And you would swear there's movement, even though not a thing is moving. Another type of rock garden that we're perhaps more familiar with are the alpine rock gardens. And here they've taken natives, and I put natives in quotes, maybe not natives to our part of Oregon, but the idea is to take native plants that grow in an alpine or mountainous region, which very often do grow in and around rocks.
Seemingly improbably.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, you'll see a stunted Mugo pine at 2,000 feet, and you're just mm-hmm. like, how's it even growing there? And so an alpine rock garden would be featuring some of those kinds of plants that in their native environment would actually be growing on and in the cracks of rocks. And so it's creating that kind of environment, maybe at a lower altitude or in your backyard. Mm-hmm. A third kind is very interesting and becoming more popular, maybe more in southern states, but in Oregon too, and that's the desert or xeriscape rock garden. And here you might just feature some, plants that don't get waterlogged, I guess. So there are succulents and other plants. And the idea of xeriscaping is the plant needs zero care. You know, very often in arid conditions, so it might be cactus and succulents and things like that. Here in the Pacific Northwest, I think because it is that promise of a low effort to maintain them, people have found succulents, even large succulents, that will withstand some of our soggier conditions. They just put them in very quick draining soils and, of course, rock. And so the combination between the shapes of rocks and shapes of some of the succulents can be a very compelling thing to look at. And mm-hmm. so the xeriscaped gardens can be very fun to look at and easy to take care of.
That's a big advantage.
Another one, they would call it a woodland garden, but I think we're familiar with woodland gardens. And here, once again, we're featuring more of the rocks. And so when I think of woodland, I don't think of lots of rocks. And so it's kind of an interesting combination, but typically it would be in a shady area. And so the woodland plants would be maybe ferns in the niches of rocks and things like that. Mm-hmm. Some of the Pacific Northwest perennials, small in stature. Typically rock garden plants are on the smaller side and slow growing. And so a woodland rock garden perhaps have ferns and moss and even lichen growing on the rocks. And kind of a subset of this too, which kind of made me laugh when I realized it, but have you heard of a fairy garden?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, so there's a whole subset of woodland garden, rock gardens, where people have tried to imitate in a very small scale, almost like a miniature garden. And they will, it's really popular, of course, with grandparents and children.
Of course.
And so they'll even foster toadstools to grow in there or even put little ceramic figurines. But
chair, a little bench.
Exactly. Yeah. So the, quote, fairies would, you know, come and inhabit it. That, too, often will qualify as a rock garden because the setting will be with rocks around it to enclose a little area to make it be like a little miniature walled garden made out of rock. Another kind of rock garden is a water rock garden. And so in addition to having a landscape mostly made out of rock, then you would have water flowing over and around the rocks. And your plants might be aquatic plants like water lilies or that kind of thing. And then finally, the most informal one, and this is actually the one that my partner Daniel and I revitalized in the South Beach Demonstration Garden, and that's simply called a cottage rock garden. And I think, you know, you might just say they could have called it miscellaneous. I know, because the idea of cottage garden, I think, is a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And so the same would be true of a cottage rock garden. It's mostly featuring a collection of plants in amongst the rocks that is more pleasing to the eye without following a strict theme. So rather than it being Zen or something like that, it's just a mixture of rocks and plants that are put together.
So you mentioned that you revitalized a rock garden at the South Beach Demonstration Garden. What was the state of the site like before you got involved?
Oh, well, it's interesting. We were the apprentices and asked to come up with a project. And one of the suggestions was to, kind of a strong suggestion, was to revitalize a rock garden that was there. And Daniel and I were kind of like, what rock garden? I've been in that garden before. I didn't see a rock garden. And sure enough, it was kind of sad. It was sort of overgrown, and a lot of the rocks had fallen out of the rock garden, and it was flat. It's kind of like starting over in a way, except there were rocks. And of course, building a rock garden from scratch can be kind of difficult if you don't have rocks already in the terrain. So we sort of lucked out by being able to repurpose the rocks. One of the things we wanted to do, we wanted to bring some height to it. It was almost like a ring of stone with things planted in there. And for us, a rock garden should be more like nooks and crannies where you can feature plants in amongst the rocks.
A little more naturalistic.
Yeah, exactly. We were rock hunters for a while. There was a place in Newport that will sell fairly large landscaped rocks. So we would get the biggest ones that the two of us could lift into our trunk. And one by one, we were driving rocks out to South Beach from Newport. But it was kind of fun. The other thing that we did was we cheated because the rocks actually were somewhat expensive. So we went to a lumber supply place and bought some cement blocks that you would use maybe in building a foundation or a retaining wall. And so underpinning, where you can't see them at all, we stacked cement blocks 2 and 3 high to give the garden some height. And then we put the rocks that had been there on top and around the odd conglomeration of cinder blocks. Mm-hmm. But it ended up looking fairly natural. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the fun was just arranging the rocks to provide cavities for planting things in and choosing the plants and so on.
How did you pick which plants you wanted to put in?
Well, here where I would say it's definitely cottage garden, because there were some native plants in there that we were told you're leaving those. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It wasn't really up to us to choose about half the plants. Mm-hmm. There were some native asters, there were some native beech daisies, and even some iris that we were told, you know, those stay. And now the good news was those are all things that are actually suitable to a rock garden. So we didn't really have to negotiate for more appropriate plants. And then the purchasing of plants. My partner Daniel is very interested in year-round interest. And so for him it was, well, let's see what small, slow-growing plants bloom at different times of the year or have winter interest. It was kind of fun coming up with probably about 3 or 4 dozen plants that would provide year-round interest. Mm-hmm. We bought one really large blue agave, which eventually will get maybe 2 feet across.
Oh, boy.
So that'll be the biggest plant there. But when I say eventually, probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. From then on, we just picked plants that would bloom at different times or have an interesting smell. I would say we made one mistake. We got Santolina ericotis, which is called lavender cotton. And we got it because you brush against it and it smells amazing. And it is low growing. It only grows to about a foot. But it's not slow growing. One of the things we really desired was to make the garden low maintenance. And the Santolina, oh my gosh, you know, about every 4 months we could prune it. And so that may end up getting replaced. But everything else is doing well. We have quite a few things that bloom in the spring and in the summer. We did get some alpine conifers that are super slow growing. Mm-hmm. They're only about maybe 6 inches tall. And you know,
like bonsai.
10 years from now, they might be 7 inches mm-hmm. tall. We're in our second year now. And it still, I think, looks pretty good.
What has the maintenance been like for the past couple years?
Well, other than Santolina, it's been super easy. We really only do weeding twice a year. And because most of them, over half of them, are Northwest natives, they don't require fertilizer, and they're all slow growing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. That all sounds lovely. That was super informative. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Mm-hmm. Always glad to be on KYAQ. Now for a seasonal gardening tip. Over the last couple weeks, I've received 4 or 5 different seed catalogs in the mail. I have to always wonder, am I picking out the right seeds for my location with maybe 100 different varieties of lettuces? Which ones really do well on the Oregon coast? Hundreds again of tomato seeds. Which ones are more likely to do well in our coastal climate? So my tip is Lincoln County Master Gardener Association is putting on a 2-hour workshop called Understanding Seed Catalogs. It's part of their Grow Your Own program this year, which will follow everything from planting seeds on to harvest later in the year. This first class, Understanding Seed Catalogs, will help you choose the right seeds for your location, the right quantity of seeds that you'll actually need, and have some assurance that your seeds will grow well here on the Oregon coast. The workshop is available on the campuses of the Oregon Coast Community College. So you'll have some different locations and some different dates. To register, go to the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association website. That's orcoastmga.org. And you'll see a banner for Grow Your Own right on the homepage. It'll tell more about the various workshops that are being offered throughout the year. And of course, a link to register for Understanding Seed Catalogs.
That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!